The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Are there scriptures that prohibit eternal salvation for some sins or kinds of sins? What are the vice passages referring to? Salvation or something other than salvation? Let's talk about this today here on Grace in Focus, and we are happy that you're joining us today. We are the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is a ministry of that organization. Find out more about us at faithalone.org. There you can find out about our online seminary. Spring semester starting soon. If you are interested in joining us this semester, check that out today at faithalone.org. Now, with our question and answer discussion of the day, here are Bob Wilkin and Colin Jackson.
Yes, we have a question from Elise. She's currently speaking to a pastor who thinks that homosexual people can't be saved. And her question is this true?
No, it's not true. And I'll tell you why it's not true. If you say that homosexuals cannot be saved unless they stop being homosexuals, then ultimately you're saying that no one can be saved unless they stop being a sinner.
Right.
Right. In other words, you would say the heterosexual can't be saved if they're having sex outside of marriage. The married person who's involved in adultery couldn't be saved. And we could pick a lot of other sins. One of the famous passages for this, by the way, is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Do you have that there, especially verses 9 and 10?
Yes. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." That's a pretty long list.
Yeah. And now 9 and 10 give us the list, and then verse 10 says, well, the Corinthians aren't like that anymore, but he's not saying they're not like that anymore in their experience.
Right.
Because later on in the same chapter, he says they're going to pagan temples and having sex with temple prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't be. They clearly have some of these sin issues are dominating their lives. Basically, what he's saying is, they've been washed, experiencing the washing of regeneration. They've been sanctified. They've been set apart into God's family, and they've been justified. So in their position, they're no longer these kind of people. In their position, they're no longer slaves of sin. But right now, the Church of Corinth, many of the people in the Church of Corinth were still living this way. But ultimately, notice all these sins in the list. As you mentioned, there's a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to pick out, there's two words for homosexuals. These are not all homosexuals. These are male homosexuals. So they're referring to the more aggressive male and the more passive male in a homosexual relationship. And there were two separate Greek words for that. But notice there's also fornicators. Well, a fornicator would be someone who is involved in premarital sex or someone who is involved with sex outside of marriage. So heterosexuals would be included. And it also includes people who are thieves or people who are covetous, people who covet other people's property. That seems like a lot of people. Or drunkards or revilers or extortioners. And by the way, the issue here is not getting into the kingdom. The issue is inheriting the kingdom.
Right. Is this even talking about salvation?
It's not. It's talking about rewards. Because take your own family, for example. If your parents give you an inheritance and your parents pass, then you will one day receive an inheritance. But whether you receive an inheritance or not, you're still the children in your family. My parents both have passed, and Sharon and I received an inheritance from her parents and from my parents, but that was not an automatic. If we had not been children that were pleasing to our parents, they might have decreased our inheritance or written us out of the will entirely. I know of situations in my extended family where someone was completely written out of the will, and that can happen. So here, inheriting the kingdom refers to ruling with Christ. But there's two more parallel passages in Paul. Look at Galatians 5:19 through 21. And I have about a 20-page journal article on this called Christians Who Lose Their Legacy, if you go to faithalone.org. In this passage, notice, and Colin, maybe you can pick out some of the sins listed here which people don't tend to think of as being on par with homosexuality.
Well, we have hatred.
Okay, hatred. Now, don't a lot of people have trouble with anger issues?
Oh, yeah, they absolutely.
They need to go to anger management classes and things, right?
Sure.
All right, what else?
Jealousies.
Oh, yeah. Do we know anybody in the world that's jealous? I think jealousy is a big problem in Christianity.
Right. You have heresies, which some people hold, and they don't even realize it.
Right. Heresies could be false teachings that a person would abide by.
Right.
There's envy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Envy's another issue. There's also outbursts of wrath, really not hatred, but you just get really mad and you have an angry outburst. And it says that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God either. What I like to say to people is, look, if you're going to say that homosexuals can't be saved just like they are, mm-hmm. remember the song, Just As I Am?
Right.
Without one plea. A lot of people want to say, yeah, that's true. Unless you're a really big sinner, then no, you can't come as you are. That's not true at all. The homosexual can be born again just as they are, just like the murderer can be born again just as they are. So can the extortioner be born again just as they are. And so can the person who's got problems with anger and with outbursts of anger. All other sinful addictions or sinful problems, none of those hinder a person from being born again. What hinders a person from being born again is unbelief.
Right.
And as soon as they believe, they're born again. And what keeps people from believing is their tradition.
Yes.
So unfortunately, Elise, is this her pastor or a pastor she's been listening to?
One that she's been following and talking with.
So this pastor that she's been following is actually misleading her.
Right.
When he says that homosexuals can't be saved, then ultimately what he's doing is causing her to doubt her own salvation, I would think. Because if a homosexual can't be saved, wouldn't you tend to think, yeah, I'm not a homosexual, but I'm not sinless, right? Wouldn't you start thinking, well, if the basis of salvation has something to do with my behavior, well, then how do I know I match up?
Yeah, it becomes an ambiguous barrier where you're not sure, have I checked all the boxes in repenting of enough sins to be saved?
Yeah.
The Grace Evangelical Seminary is our online seminary where you can earn an MDiv degree. Our 2025 spring semester is fast approaching, and if you're interested in beginning or continuing studies with us, contact us today to get in under the wire, so to speak. New applications and registrations are due this Friday, January 10. Some classes start January 13. Most classes start January 27. Become an approved workman. Find information you need, gesseminary.org. That's gesseminary.org.
And you also have the problem that the Bible starts to not make sense. For
right.
example, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say behave in him, and yet this pastor that Elise is talking with and following is ultimately changing believing in him to behaving in him.
Right.
And that is a major problem. So I have an article, if you go to faithalone.org, on this question of whether homosexuals can be saved, and I basically say what we're discussing here. But let me make it very clear, Colin, and all of y'all, that I'm not suggesting that God doesn't care how you live as a believer. I'm not saying that you can sin with impunity.
Mm-hmm.
If a person is a homosexual and they come to faith in Christ and they're born again, God is going to be working in their life to get them to turn from that sin, abandon that sin, because it's not pleasing to God. Now, the person's born again and eternally secure, but if they continue to walk in that sin, once they realize it is sin, and by the way, a lot of people, homosexuality today, do not believe it's sin. And so when they would come to faith in Christ, they certainly wouldn't think that's something they need to repent of in order to walk in fellowship with God. But at some point, if they're listening to clear Bible teaching, they're going to realize this is sin, and the Lord wants me to turn from it. And if they do turn from it, well, then they can continue to walk in the light and continue to be in fellowship with God. But if they don't, then they'll be out of fellowship with God, and they'll be reaping the consequences of walking in the darkness.
Right. There's a distinction between what's required for salvation and what's required for rewards and fellowship with God. And in 1 John, it even talks about hating your brother. If you do that, you're walking in the darkness.
Exactly.
But that's not talking about you're not saved. That's saying you're out of fellowship with God when you do that.
In fact, it would be saying you are saved, because Zane Hodges argues it wouldn't say he who hates his brother unless this was actually his brother spiritually.
Yeah, it's a family term.
So therefore, to love your brother is to love a fellow believer. To hate your brother is to hate your fellow believer. In fact, in 1 John 3, it's interesting, we're to be like Christ, not like Cain. Mm-hmm. You know, Cain killed his brother. Jesus did the opposite. He laid down his life for the brethren.
Right.
In fact, 1 John 3:16 says, he laid down his life for us, therefore we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I think it's important to recognize there are consequences. If you are a homosexual or a heterosexual and you're involved in sex outside of marriage, you can be born again just as you are. But once you recognize that is sin, then as a believer, you need to confess it and turn from it in order to walk in fellowship with God. The believer starts the Christian life in fellowship with God, even though there's lots of problems in every Christian's life. But God, the Holy Spirit, is revealing sin in our lives, and then we confess it, and we grow over time.
Right, and the attraction itself isn't necessarily a sin. It's the lusting after a person or engaging in thoughts of a sexual nature.
Luther used to say, and I've quoted this many times, you can't keep birds from flying overhead, but you can sure keep them from nesting in your hair.
Right.
We all have inappropriate thoughts from time to time. If we dwell on them and nurture them and meditate on them, now we've moved into the area of sinful lust, where we've indulged in that and we've been like daydreaming over sex or daydreaming over something else. And unless that's daydreaming over sex with your spouse, then you're in trouble, because you're now involved in something that is contrary to what God wishes.
Right.
Great question, Elise. And keep in mind that the free gift of everlasting life is absolutely free. Remember, keep grace.
And focus.
Amen.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, what are some hurdles or struggles with believing the Faith Alone message? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.